listening to Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.
Welcome to Full Power Living, the only show on international media that is dedicated to the exploration and understanding of emotions and their role in human life. I'm Eileen Dillon, your creator and host, and during this live broadcast, we invite you to interact with us on our chat here on the EmotionalPro.com radio page. And you're also invited to call 800-630-7858 to ask your questions directly for our guest today, actress Mariel Hemingway.
Hello.
Hi, Mariel. Happy to have you on the show. I have a little introduction, and then I'll get to some questions. All right?
Perfect.
Glad to have you.
Thank you. Thank you. It's great to be here.
Once I had a discussion about food and nutrition with a conventional medical doctor that I know, and he said to me that the body has an amazing ability to utilize whatever we put into it, that the body breaks food down into their chemical components for use, and therefore it doesn't really matter what we eat, and supplements don't really do us any good, and they're a waste of money. So in response, I challenged him that he was always careful to get the right grade of gasoline for his car, affirming that it runs better on a particular grade. So I asked him, what makes you think the human body's any different than your car? And I'd like to ask our listeners, what do you think? More importantly, how do you go about fueling your own body? Do you think that the quality of what you put into it matters, or do you rely on your body to utilize whatever you feed it, believing that it'll do what is necessary to keep you healthy? So to assist you with this thinking, we have today with us here on Full Power Living a person for whom food, nutrition, and health have been enormously important, as you will learn. She's the author of several books, including Healthy Living from the Inside Out, and her newest release, which we're discussing today, Mariel's Kitchen. As the granddaughter of Nobel Prize-winning novelist Ernest Hemingway, Mariel Hemingway was destined to be in the public eye. She's an actress, model, yoga instructor, mother of two teenage girls, and one of the leading voices for holistic and balanced living. Her book, Mariel's Kitchen, combines her no-nonsense attitude with wholesome recipes for every occasion. It's arranged according to the seasons with recipes that show you how simple it can be to replace packaged and processed foods with locally grown seasonal produce. And you can find out more about Mariel and her book, Mariel's Kitchen, by visiting her at MarielHemingway.com. That's MarielHemingway.com. Or MarielsKitchen.com. So, Mariel Hemingway, welcome to Full Power Living.
Well, thank you for having me. Thank you for the lovely introduction. I think I have to change something. I think my daughters are no longer teenagers. They're young women. I don't like to admit it, but they're 20 and 22. So I keep hearing that, and I don't really want to change it, but I thought today, oh, I better admit it.
Okay, so I'll just cross this out and write in young adult women. Yeah. Ours keep getting older, too. So you have a lot to say about this question of on the quality of food that we put into our bodies. Not only that each of us needs different nutrients, but that our needs for nutrients change from season to season. And so I'd like to start with you talking about what you have learned about our body's need for different grades of gasoline, if you will, food. Because you also say that food is a medicine for you at a deep level. So will you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, please? Absolutely. And, you know, Mariel's Kitchen's about, you know, eating with the seasons and eating, really what it comes down to is eating biodynamically. You may have heard of, you know, you've heard of organic farming, but there's also a deeper level of farming called biodynamics. And that works with the seasons. It works with the soil. You don't plant, you know, you plant cabbage in the fall because that's when you're supposed to eat it. You don't plant things when they're not supposed to be planted. You don't plant things that are not indigenous to the climate. And the reason I bring that up, this up is because that's really how we have to look at our bodies. You know, what is, where do we come from? What is our genetic heritage? How do our bodies function in the spring, the summer, the winter, and the fall? And it's different. We need different foods at different times. And then when it gets to, you know, food being medicine, I say to people, you know, you take an Advil, 20 minutes later you don't have a headache, why do we not think that food has exactly the same effect? And it does, because, you know, it's just obvious, you know, but we become anesthetized to our food. And so the Western doctor that said, you know, food doesn't have any effect and vitamins, well, some supplements actually don't, but it's absolutely untrue. We're a holistic system that works based on the fuel that we put in. And so that fuel being the best high test is going to make you run most efficiently.
Well, that was my argument. But, you know, I think bringing up the story really illustrates sort of what we're up against, because a lot of us have been trained to believe that an Advil works differently than food, when, in fact, as you point out, it doesn't. Now, one of the concerns I had, you advocate eating organically, and you've just given us a good reason in addition to avoiding toxins and pesticides for doing that, but organic foods cost more, and a lot of our listeners may not feel that they can maintain a regular diet of organically grown foods. So,
right,
in terms of expenditure... Yeah, go ahead.
I so appreciate this question as well, because I get it. You know, it is expensive, but guess what? It's far more expensive to get sick. And most people spend 90% of what they make in their lifetime with their, you know, their pension or whatever, at the end of their life, when they get some disease or some, you know, something that you didn't have to get if you were taking care of yourself. And my other point to it being expensive is, you need to start looking at your life and your lifestyle and the choices that you're making every day. How often do you go to a Starbucks or a coffee place and get, you know, a $5 coffee drink? Or, you know, where are you using or throwing away money in places that you could be putting it into your health and your wellness and to having fun and feeling good? Because the most important thing about eating well and doing all this stuff is it should be the most exciting, fun thing that you do. Because, you know, some people think, oh, it's drudgery, now I can't eat, you know, blah, blah, blah. And that's not the way it is. Really good food, and that's why I wrote Mariel's Kitchen, which is gluten-free, sugar-free cookbook, is that it should be easy, it should be fun. Being healthy is one of the great gifts we can give ourselves. And we have the ability as individuals to do it ourselves. You don't need a guide, you don't need a nutritionist, you don't need a doctor, you don't need a guru, you just need you and your ability to ask yourself questions about your health and well-being. And
very
only
well
you can
put.
Answer those questions honestly.
Yeah. Well, I've been a practicing psychotherapist for nearly 40 years, and as such, I've come to believe that our earth is a giant school to which we've all come in order to learn and grow. And
yes.
That we get... What?
I said, no, I love that. I'm just laughing. It's so perfect.
We get our homework assignments in our childhood and work on our homework for the rest of our lives until we get it. And using this framework, I was looking at your long-term interest in food and nutrition and inner health and peace as part of your homework assignment, motivated by incredibly serious concerns regarding life and mental health. And I'm wondering if you'd like to tell our audience what initially motivated you to move in this direction?
Well, yeah. I mean, I come from, you know, most people know that, you know, Ernest Hemingway is my grandfather, and he's extraordinary and incredibly creative man. But I also come from tremendous mental illness, addictive behaviors, cancer. There's 7 suicides in my family, close to my generation, you know, in my generation. And so I lived in fear for a great deal of my childhood that I was going to end up one day, wake up and be completely bonkers and, you know, have a disease or, you know, and there's also diabetes and heart disease. And I thought, oh my gosh, how am I going to survive this, you know, this package that I got genetically? Mm-hmm. And it's not that it was a bad package on some levels, but in other levels, it was a little scary. It was daunting. Those things were in me. So I got into health and wellness to survive. What's kept me there is the fact that I've come full circle. I no longer worry about going crazy, but my health is fantastic. It's, you know, it's gone from survival to thriving. You know, I don't have to survive anymore. I'm enjoying my life. I don't worry about the things I used to worry about. And it's based on the lifestyle choices. I used to suffer from depression. I don't have it anymore. And none of it was done, you know, with medication. It was done with lifestyle, with food, with the water that I drink, how the kind of exercise that I do. You know, there was a lot of trial and error. I've done a lot of wacky things, and I've followed everybody on the planet until I realized, you know, later on in my life that I'm my best guide. I'm my best teacher to my health and wellness and my sense of stability. So that's what got me into it. What keeps me passionate about this field is my love of living life and feeling good and knowing that I can turn others on to finding their own voice, their inner guide that helps them to be the most healthy, vital, and wonderful person they can be.
Mm. Now, you have twice mentioned this term, you're your own best guide and teacher, and how are you your own? How do you know what you need?
How do you know? Well, that's a good question. There are, and you know, I say that you can be your best guide. We all need help. We all need tools, and that's what you know. I've set out to do is give people tools so that they can do this themselves. So the tools are, you know, sometimes in Healthy Living from the Inside Out, I talk about clearing, you know, I talk about noisy food, getting rid of noisy foods. Noisy foods are chemical foods, high caffeinated foods, high sugar foods, any kind of processed foods. All these things create chemical noise in the brain. Literal, you know, your chemistry is messed up because your brain is just functioning with this, it makes it cloudy. So I call it noisy food. It literally has noise so that you can't hear your own messaging. So you have to not necessarily take it out completely, but you have to pull away from those foods and beverages in order to be able to hear your own voice. Once you have gotten to that place, then you begin to be able to hear what your body wants for you. And it's a process, and it's a slow process. And to do anything long-term and sustainably, you need to do it slow and see the difference. You know, I say to people, if you want to change the way that you eat, start with your breakfast. Change your breakfast. Eat a better breakfast. Because I almost guarantee you, since you're coming from a night of fasting, because it's what's called a breakfast, you will probably change the way you eat lunch because you feel differently if you eat a better breakfast. And my thing is about really educating people on how they feel, taking time, slowing yourself down enough so that you can actually feel, oh, you know, I do feel differently when I have, you know, when I have eggs and greens in the morning, or I have a green drink, or you know, I make gluten-free pancakes from my cookbook, shamelessly plugging. These kinds of choices really help you.
Yes. Yes, they do. Now, we have somebody on the chat who wants to know if your diet is vegan or vegetarian.
No, I was vegan for 16 years, and for me, it did not work. I was very sad to have to give up being vegan because for all kinds of reasons, especially the animals and just how abusive it is and the environmental reasons to not eat meat was huge for me, but it stopped my thyroid. It shut my thyroid down. I ate a lot of soy, which wasn't good for me, too much estrogen. Anyway, long story short, I am no longer vegan, but I do eat meat, fish, chicken, and eggs, but I eat mostly raw chicken, raw eggs and dairy, which isn't legal in every state in this country, which is quite sad. Yeah. When I eat meat or chicken or fish, the fish has to be wild caught. The meat has to be free range, you know, and I have to know that it is. Mm-hmm. And, you know, chicken's the same way. And my eggs I get from a farm that I invested in, And I know that those eggs are really, really good. But I'm very particular because I don't like, I won't eat an abused animal. I don't like to, you know, some, it just doesn't work for me. But so it's about making better choices. And I want to invite other people to make those kinds of choices. It's why in Mariel's Kitchen, I encourage people to go to farmers markets. And, you know, that's where you can get great eggs and your produce is, and it's cheaper too. You know, the organic produce or sustainable produce is a lot cheaper. And it's also a really fun thing to do.
Mm-hmm. And there may be some good stores in our area. I'm in the San Francisco Bay Area. In Berkeley, we have a wonderful store called Berkeley Bowl that has a huge
assortment. Oh, it's amazing. I know it up there. And you have, up there, this is the best farmers markets, I think, in the country.
Yes. Some of our daughters go regularly, I know. Well, just briefly, how interconnected, and this is not a brief topic, how interconnected have you found that nutrition and emotion or mental health are? You say that things cleared up for you, but what's your experience in working with people and yourself over the years? How connected are food and mental health?
Oh, well, I'm in a business where, you know, you're only as good as your last movie and how you looked and, you know, I was in fashion and all this stuff. So it was all vanity and how thin can you be and blah, blah, blah. So I would deprive myself. I did a lot of, like, fasting, and then I wouldn't eat. And then when I would eat, you know, I'd be so hungry, but I'd be so, you know, I feel depleted. I almost wouldn't feel loved. So a lot of people eat emotionally eat. So they eat to fill a hole. And I learned by really looking at my family, you know, I come from a real foodie family. My mother was sent to Cordon Bleu in Paris to learn how to cook at the same time that Julia Child learned how to cook. And Julia Child was actually the maid of honor at my parents' wedding.
Wow.
So they were very, very into food. But food was a replacement for love in our house. It was definitely like, we can't talk, we're really messed up, let's just eat more. You know, so food was kind of filling this hole, but of course it never fills that hole. Mm-hmm. And what I've learned over the years and why one of the other reasons I wrote Mariel's Kitchen is to say food should come from love. It should be an expression of your desire to share, to be of service, to love yourself and to love another and to love your family. And I think that food and emotions are very, very wrapped up. I mean, like you said, it's not a small subject. I mean, we have emotional connections with food during holidays. You know, certain foods speak to us and nurture us and make us feel calm and happy. And another reason why in the book I try to make recipes that we're familiar with but make them as healthy as possible.
Well, about 15 years ago, after being a single parent for 20 years, I met a man to whom I'm now married, and his family, mostly adult daughters, he had four daughters, were kind of scattered and things were not being very happy in the family. And one of the main ways that I brought the family together, and they are very much more together now and very loving, which they had the capacity to be and were beforehand, but they were scattered from each other. I made family meals and just kept doing family meals over and over again. So I think it was fortunate that I came into a family of foodies too, so it worked.
I love that you bring that up because that's kind of a really big point for me. We've lost ceremony and ritual in this country, not all of us, but some of us have. We're moving fast. We grab coffee. We grab a muffin. We run to work. We grab something at lunch. We don't even remember what we ate. We grab something out of a machine. You know, and the family meal, the ritual of making food and setting a table and doing all these things is really important to our well-being. I think of it as a mindful meditation practice.
Uh-huh.
So preparing food, I'm not a great cook. I know how to cook. But
I don't believe
preparation.
That. I fixed some of your recipes. I don't believe
I mean, they're good, but, you know, I'm not trust me. My mother, my parents would be like, yeah, where's the sauce? You know, so, but I appreciate that. I love it to death, but and it's so much pleasure for me, but it also brings me to the present moment. When you cook and you prepare and you really, you know, you go get your food at a farmer's market or something, you really can make that connection. Because I actually believe that food is our connection to Mother Nature. Because so many of us don't get outside enough. But if you connect with your food, that's a way to connect with nature. It's a way to feel more connected to yourself and to a greater awareness. So I think food has this powerful, powerful place in our lives. We have to do it 3 times a day, or maybe less, maybe more. So we might as well do it with some consciousness and awareness.
I love that point of view. We are ready for our first break, and when we return, I'd like to look a little more closely at your book and talk more about what you've got there that our listeners can use directly.
Okay.
So you're listening to Full Power Living. We're talking with actress and author Mariel Hemingway, and we'll be right back.
Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.
How difficult is it for you to ask directly for what you really want? To take responsibility graciously and willingly for your mistakes? Or to relate with others because it's fun instead of because you need something from them? Most people believe manipulation and codependence are normal behaviors for adults. They may be common, but they're not normal. Manipulative behaviors really are designed to be part of childhood, to be put away as things of the past when we become adults. So, if you're ready to let manipulation and codependence be part of your past, then get the mini course I've created for you, Ending Codependence, The Bottom Line. I'm Eileen Dillon, the Emotional Pro, offering you a formula that you can follow for creating healthy, manipulation-free, and lasting intimate relationships. I also give you the tools and principles that you can use to develop lasting immunity to codependence. Get Ending Codependence today at www.emotionalpro.com. That's emotionalpro.com.
Back on Full Power Living today, talking with actress, model, yoga instructor, and mother of 2 young adult daughters, one of the leading voices for holistic and balanced living, Mariel Hemingway. She's the author of Mariel's Kitchen. So, Mariel, I wanted to start by telling you that we had one of our adult daughters and a new man in her life over for dinner last Saturday, and I decided I would make recipes from your book. And I made turkey and veggie sausages, and I picked some homegrown Swiss chard and wilted that to put under it. And I made your jicama carrot and cucumber salad with citrus dressing and followed it all up with a yogurt and berry parfait using Greek yogurt, which was just delicious. There were no leftovers.
Good. We love that. That's a good sign.
Yeah. It was a wonderful meal. That's why I was having trouble with you a while ago, saying you aren't a good cook. But how did you develop and collect these particular recipes? They are just delightful. I have to say, my husband doesn't even like raw carrots, and he sort of looked over my shoulder as I was julienning them, and he said, "Oh, are those raw carrots?" And I said, "Yes, it's what's in the recipe." But once I poured the citrus dressing over it, he ate every morsel and liked it.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, like I said, I come from a foodie home, so a lot of the recipes were ideas that I pulled from the past, and then just I worked with somebody who makes recipes because I didn't know how to actually break down something and say, you know, a teaspoon of this and a teaspoon of that. I worked with a wonderful woman, Denise Vivaldo, who can put a recipe together. So, I would say I want to do this, and she helped me to configure that. But it was a great process of just, you know, of discovering more about food than I even knew before.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Well, they're really great. Now, I read also that it's not just that you have a book entitled Marielle's Kitchen, but that you're coming out with a line of foods like your Bliskets that you'll be releasing
exactly.
through Target.
Yeah, they're actually. I think that you can get them up in Northern California. They're at Tully's Coffee right now.
Uh-huh.
Tully's Coffee Houses, and they're from the company's called Marielle's Kitchen, and the cookie is called a Bliskit. It's gluten free. It's sugar free. There's absolutely no flour in it. They're made with almond meal and coconut oil, and which is a very good fat for you. Cage free egg whites. Whey protein and cinnamon, and I mean they're really, really, really good. They're sweetened with agave, and I'm really excited about them because I wanted to come up with a food company that was, you know, the tagline is real food for real people, and Bliskets are the first step in that. I created the cookies for my ex-husband who had very severe cancer and couldn't eat sugar, and he was cured of cancer and still is in remission. He was cured of it through lifestyle and food. And so I created this cookie it took me about 5 years to really perfect it, so that he could eat sugar, you know, eat something sweet that wasn't sugar because he was a sugar addict prior to that.
You actually helped him heal twice from cancer, did you not?
I did indeed. Yeah. He did have cancer twice, and the first time he sort of did the protocol for a year, and then he figured, you know, he was fine, he didn't have to do it anymore. The problem is when you have a proclivity to make cancer cells, we all make cancer cells, but cancer cells that grow and, you know, turn into active cancer, you really don't want to give it its food. And cancer cells eat sugar. All cells eat sugar, but cancer grows in sugar. So he really had to cut that out, and yeah, it's amazing. He is living a very healthy life, you know. I don't know about his choices so much anymore, but he's, he's completely in remission, completely in good health.
Wow. So are you thinking that now's the time that more and more people are going to be concerned enough about their good health and healthy eating to buy Bliskets instead of potato chips or tortilla strips?
Well, that's my hope. We're looking to get into some airlines because I think that's a place where people are sort of captive and they don't know, you know, they don't have that many healthy choices.
Mm-hmm.
They're really tasty. I didn't want to do a cookie that was like, you know, there's a lot of health bars out there and, you know, things like that, but they're kind of either rubbery or dry or, you know, they just don't taste that good. These taste really good. They do not taste like a, you know, quote unquote health food cookie. They taste delicious. If you have them with a cup of tea or coffee or something, they're divine. I kid you not. I wouldn't say that. I know they're mine and I want everybody to buy them, but they're really, really good. I also have a recipe in Mariel's Kitchen for them, but you know, a lot of people aren't going to bake them and I want people to know that there's a healthy choice also for their kids, because mm-hmm. I also designed them for my kids who I wanted to, have sugar, no sugar snacks that were good for them.
Yeah, I'm going to be telling my stepdaughter about it because we've got grandchildren who are 4 and 1.5, and my 4-year-old granddaughter sat a week or so ago and used a carrot peeler and peeled carrots like she was an old pro, so she's very
I love that. Well, I love when kids get kids love to cook. I love to cook as a kid. If mm-hmm. you let your children into the kitchen, that's how they learn about good food, is by you help, you know, having them help you make it. Because then they're curious about it. They'll taste it because they made it instead of, you know, you place it in front of them, they roll their eyes because there's too many vegetables or whatever it is. But if they're in the process of making it, it changes them completely.
I was helped, actually. I told you I was a single parent, and it was suggested to me when my son was 5 and my daughter was 12 that they be in charge of selecting the foods, helping to purchase, and making a meal and cleaning up for the entire family. And they both agreed to do that. And as a single parent for many years, I only made meals three nights a week because my
That's a genius idea. I did that with one of my daughters, a very, very good cook. She loved to create meals for all of us. But they're both very interested in food because of that. I think that's a wonderful idea.
Yeah. We have another question on the chat. Can we order Bliskets from your site?
You can order Bliskets from Mariel's. My site is MarielHemingway.com, which has a link to MarielsKitchen.com. But you can directly order from Mariel's Bliskets, MarielsBlissets.com.
Ah, that's one I didn't have, MarielsBlissets.com. Well, actually bought all the ingredients, and I'm ready to make them. I just haven't gotten to it yet.
Good for you. Good for you.
Yeah. Well, I grew up on a farm, so to me...
Oh, yay!
Yeah, to me, you know, I started doing... I lived with my grandparents when I was five, and I helped milk the cow, and I helped my grandmother make meals and so forth, and learned the whole cycle of food, and I just, you know, making things from scratch, I know is so much better, but it's also easier because it's been part, like with you, it's been part of my life forever.
Absolutely. Well, I invested my boyfriend and I, who are writing my fourth book, or my fourth book, his first book, together, invested in a local farm in Santa Paula, about 45 minutes from where we live. In order to, we're creating a nonprofit because we want to bring children there so that they can learn about where their food comes from. Because, you know, people don't have the experience that you had of living on a farm, you know. And I lived in Idaho and lived near ranches, and my grandparents, you know, had land and a garden and all that kind of stuff. And I was always visiting farms. My godparents were farmers. So I think it's so important for people to really understand where their food comes from. And farming, you know, the small farm is kind of really the backbone of America.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree with you. And I have also felt sad that people don't have that. And I'm so grateful. I just visited my daughter on the East Coast and helped her rototill for her garden. And yesterday spoke with my son with these two little girls. And he said, we've got to get the girls started gardening. I'm going to take part of the yard and help them plant lettuce and tomatoes and carrots.
Oh, that's great.
Isn't that great? So that's a really wonderful thing for people to do with their kids, too. Now,
oh, yeah.
Part of your concern with Mariel's Kitchen was to address the issue of how busy people they are these days. Many people I hear say, I just don't have time to eat well. But your book, Mariel's Kitchen, is designed to help people eat well all week long. And what would you say are some of the specific things that you advocate there that people could start putting into their lives other than eating a better breakfast?
Well, you know, I think that there's several things that you can do. It's about planning. I understand. I have the busiest life. I travel all the time. I'm going all the time. You know, I was up at 5 this morning. I had an appointment at 6, and that went till 8. You know, so I understand time crunch and not feeling as though you have the time to do the things you need to do to eat better. So one of my suggestions is plan to go to a farmer's market once a week if you can, or just, you know, your market. But plan your week. Sit down with my cookbook or something else and plan a few meals. And get those ingredients when you go. And just know that you're going to do that and do a little prep time. It'll take a little time, maybe on your weekend or something like that, but think of it as a mindful practice of preparation, and then put it away, and then know that, you know, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, you're going to make something special for yourself or your family. And it doesn't have to be hard. None of the recipes in my book, you know, take that long at all, more than a half an hour or 45 minutes at all. I mean, that's the way it should be. So it's just about pre-planning. That's a key. And try one new food a week too. Try something you've never tried before. It'll inspire you to eat a little bit better, and it's kind of fun.
Great. And now there's one thing that you seem to advocate in Mariel's Kitchen that I learned to do a few years ago, but I don't hear a lot of people talking about it, and that is to imagine how you're going to feel after you eat something.
Yes. It's a very interesting technique, so to speak, but it does change, it changes things. If you give yourself a choice between, you know, the bad cookie or the donut, or, you know, a plate of raw yogurt and berries and things like that and some raw honey, imagine, you know, I just say to you, just kind of close your eyes and imagine which each one is going to feel like afterwards. And it's not that hard to do, you know, because you know that feeling after you've indulged in something that's not that great for you, how you feel. And then that clean sort of meal that you have changes the way that you feel about something, you feel about your body.
Right, and gives you more energy and so forth. And you also say in Mariel's Kitchen that eating seasonally allows us to eat fresh, just pick foods, but it also connects us more to the earth. Can you talk a little bit about that, since we've also been talking about farming and gardening?
Yes. Well, I like I said before, I think that food is our first, I think it's our first step into becoming environmental. Because when you eat, when you go to a farmer's market and you pick out your lettuce, or you pick out your herbs, or you pick some apples or oranges, or, you know, it's late summer and you've got peaches, you're making a connection to the guy that brought them, to the farm that he was at. You're making that connection. And when you eat clean food, clean, uncomplicated food, it really, really changes the way that you feel, and you do feel a connection with the earth. I brought it up before. And also, as you feel better by eating cleaner food, you start to look at your environment in a different way. It's like, oh, you know, my water isn't that good. I need to drink better water. I need to be concerned in my community of how water is treated. And, you know, I might start recycling more, you know, with more focus now. It makes you more aware. It wakes you up to yourself in a different kind of way.
Yes, I certainly agree with that. Well, this you didn't cover in Mariel's Kitchen, but I was curious about it, so I hope you'll indulge me in asking, that on this program we've explored the effects of beliefs on health. We've had, say, Bruce Lipton, who wrote The Biology of Belief, or Dawson Church, who wrote Soul Medicine.
Him.
Yeah, I do too.
I love them both. I know them well.
So with the background of the depression and addiction and illness in your family, it struck me that you must have developed some beliefs. This could happen to me, I better be careful, or whatever. And have you done work in changing your beliefs about your health? And if so, how did you go about doing it?
Well, like I said, a lot of it had to do with lifestyle choices. And yes, I was deeply afraid. I've done a tremendous amount of self-reflective work. I've meditated for years. You know, I've done different forms of spiritual work and psychotherapy and things like that. I think it's incredibly important. I've done something called brain state technologies to work on getting, you know, freeing yourself of those habitual patterns that create brain grooves in the brain that just make you keep looping on those belief systems.
Mm-hmm. So you've both done your own personal work and you've gotten help from others, as you've advocated before. If you can't do it yourself, go get help.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And then, but in getting help, it's not about getting help and then becoming, a follower to that person. It's getting help and empowering yourself to become more strong and more secure in your own self.
Mm-hmm. Good. I totally agree with that. Well, we're up to our second break now. You're listening to Full Power Living, and I'm your host, Eileen Dillon. And, Mariel, when we come back, I want to talk with you about personal responsibility for our health.
So stay tuned. We'll have more with our guest, Mariel Hemingway.
Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.
Everybody feels anger, but if you don't learn to deal with it, anger can mess up your life. It can cause you relationship problems, difficulties on the job, or create health problems. If you want a way to understand and work with anger that's simple yet so powerful, it helps you to put an end to the specific angers that are messing up your life, then you'll want to get a copy of a mini course I've created for you entitled Reduce Anger Now. With it, I want you to be able to figure out what's stimulating the anger you feel and have an easy way to change that anger so you can dramatically reduce the anger in your life. I'm Eileen Dillon, the Emotional Pro, longtime psychotherapist, coach, and anger expert. I've helped thousands of people to master anger, and I want you to begin to become an anger master in your life. Order Reduce Anger Now at the store, www.emotionalpro.com. That's www.emotionalpro.com.
Welcome back to Full Power Living. You know, Full Power Living is unique on the airwaves with our focus on awakening the world to the power and importance of human emotions, along with giving our guests enough time to deeply explore what they're passionate about. We've been on the air for nearly 7 years. We've got 300 shows archived, and we're very grateful to have you, our thinking, feeling, and caring audience. So look on our radio show page, emotionalpro.com, to see who we have scheduled for you. Next week, we're talking with Fred Burks, a former State Department translator who now helps us Americans to find and get news that's managed right out of our media so we don't know about it. Fred will be followed by Nanette Carroll the following week, the communication problem solver. And in coming weeks, we're going to be looking at the issues of family adversity, overcoming bipolar disorder, and looking at crop circles and vision loss, all with a positive slant about how to deal with challenges triumphantly. And we also have Marcy Shymoff, who's co-author of several Chicken Soup for the Soul books, talking with us about her book, Happy for No Reason. So download Full Power Living shows from iTunes, tell your friends and family about us, encourage them to listen, and thank you again for your continuing support of us and of yourself in your growth and evolution. And don't forget to check out my other two internet radio programs, Taking My Turn and Building Conscious Families, that I do with co-host and life coach Dakey Fox at thewinonline.com, thewinonline.com. So our guest today is actress, model, yoga instructor, mother of two adult young women, and one of the leading voices for holistic and balanced living, Mariel Hemingway. We're talking about her recent book, Mariel's Kitchen, in which she gives you very practical information, guidance, recipes, and it's so inspiring. It's such an inspiring book. I went right out and bought ingredients in order to start changing the way that I have been preparing meals. So, Mariel, thank you for that wonderful inspiration.
My pleasure.
Yeah. Well, before the break, I said I would like to talk with you about responsibility, because as you sort of mentioned before, we pop hastily prescribed pills to handle mental and physical problems, and we sidestep taking personal responsibility for our own health. And why do you advocate that we take personal responsibility for our own health?
Well, I think taking self-responsibility for everything in your life is extremely important. But
amen.
You know, the thing about your health is you're really the only person that can take responsibility for it. You know, people get sick and they give their power to a doctor and to this person, that person, and somebody outside them is going to fix them. And the truth is, it's your responsibility. It's your body. It's your, it's you. It's needed for you to make those shifts in yourself, make those decisions, make those better choices in the food that you eat and the water that you drink and whether you're going to, you know, exercise and get outdoors and connect with nature. This is your responsibility to your body, to your mind, to your spirit. It's extremely important.
I totally agree with you. I found online a nice article from Life Extension magazine, and it had a quote from you, and you said, "Let's face it, we all share similar health problems regardless of age, ethnic identity, or income level, and while our issues come in different wrapping paper, we all yearn for everyday well-being, positive energy, and peace of mind." And you remind us then that people are becoming increasingly proactive. They're taking settlements. They're looking for alternatives to conventional medicine. And I just appreciate so much that you want to support other people in doing some of these things. And I assume in terms of taking responsibility that you're encouraging us both to look for good ways, proven ways that we can do that, but also to experiment with ourselves responsibly.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's a journey. Your health is a journey of your self-discovery of how you tick, how you work. So, you know, my life has been about, how do I feel when I eat this? How do I feel when I move this way? Do I like yoga outside? Do I like it inside? Where do my patterns come from? You know, how was my mother brought up? What kind of effect did my grandfather's suicide have on my father and my sister and me? And, you know, I look at a lot of things. I think one of the best things we can do in our lives is ask questions, inquire, ask questions and figure out where your pockets of insecurity are, where you feel fear, where you feel anger, all these different things, so that you look at it responsibly and say, this is mine, it's nobody else's, I don't blame anyone, but I need to look at it because it keeps coming up in my life, and it's having an effect on how I parent, how I live, how I work, how I do everything, how I think. So to me, life is this great journey of self-awareness and self discovery and self-inquiry.
Yes, and that I'm struck. That's where looking at the world as a giant school has helped me. I note that you mention also that when something comes up, you look at it and say, "What's this about? Where did it come from? What do I need to do differently?" Just like you were just saying, which in my experience, the more I actually ask the question, "What am I trying to teach myself from this?" And
yes,
the more I can answer that question, the better my life runs. I assume that's so.
Absolutely. What am I trying to teach myself? And what is the universe trying to teach me when something keeps coming up? Yeah, and I think you're right. You know, you bring something to you that you need to keep learning until you get over it, you've got it. And then it doesn't come back anymore.
And immediately it doesn't come back. That's the thing I like.
I know. It's extraordinary.
Yes.
It's like, oh my God, that used to always hurt, and now it doesn't hurt. There's no charge, and I think that's it's beautiful to know that that's a possibility. Because oftentimes we get into places of despair and darkness where we don't think that's a possibility, and it is.
So we have on the chat, someone says, one must be an active participant as well as an observer in life.
Absolutely, and that's what I'm saying. Once you ask yourself the question, then you have to take action. You have to say, you know, I'm not just going to ask myself the question, know that I should do something different. You have to go out and do it. You have to say, oh, okay, today I do things differently. Today I eat differently. Today I drink better water. Today I become more conscious of my thoughts and how I move into my day and how I speak to my children or my husband, wife, or coworkers. I become more aware. It's about being present. And that kind of contemplation, you know, an observer, the observer inside becomes the active doer outside who's really practicing these principles in the world.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, you talk toward the end of Mariel's Kitchen about the place of spirit, and you mentioned earlier that you've done some spiritual study as well. Can you more directly now relate spirit and food?
Absolutely. I think God is in everything, but I think that God is particularly strong in nature, and food is part of nature. Food is part of that outgrowth of Mother Nature. It's something, and it's there to nourish and teach and be a part of us. So I kind of see everything as spiritual, but I really see food as one of the great teachers of who we are and how to be self-responsible, how to make better choices, how to get over habits. And let's face it, our spiritual lives are getting us away from the overthinking and more into the heart space and a place of calm and peace and harmony. But that's a journey. You know, it's a journey to get there, and food can be very, very helpful.
Well, you're a bit younger than I am, and I'm impressed at how far you've traveled on your journey. Wow.
Thank you.
Nothing like getting hit over the head early in life to really push you to grow, huh?
It's so true. And I think that everybody has these opportunities, and I got a shovel full of stuff, and I'm grateful for it. You know, there's not a day that I don't go, you know what, I wouldn't be here now if I hadn't had those experiences. And it enables me to share with others. It's like, okay, I've done a lot of different things. I'm going to help you shortcut and get to the nitty-gritty of what will help you. So you don't have to do all the crazy stuff that I've done.
Oh, that's so wonderful. Well, I wish it weren't so, but it's getting time for us to end the show. And is there anything, last thing, that you'd like to share? What would you like people to take away from this show listening to you today?
Well, I think it was kind of what I said it's what I said in the beginning, and you mentioned it twice. I think we're our best teachers. I think we can be our best teacher, nutritionist, you know, guru, blah, 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 whatever it is, best expert for ourselves. And I just feel that everybody listening, because obviously if they're listening, they care about something, you know, some sort of awareness deeper than the surface, that you're already extraordinary. You're already the right human being that you want to be. It's all in you. It's just sometimes it's about peeling away the layers of the onion to get to the core of your authentic self. And that's what my new book is about really peeling those layers away so you can really get to your center. And my past books, Healthy Living from the Inside Out and Mariel's Kitchen, are really steps on that journey towards self-discovery and self-awareness. So that you can be your own expert.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's really great. I like that. Well, I hope you keep writing, because this is a beautiful book and very helpful, and I'm very inspired. I'll be going into springtime eating a lot of your recipes. So
thank you so much.
No, I'm serious. They're just delicious. I hope people will really.
Well, it was really fun, and I really appreciate this interview. It's wonderful. I appreciate it very much.
Thank you. And let me remind people that they can find out more about you at mariellehemingway.com and about the book at mariellskitchen.com. And what was the one about Bliskets?
Now, if you want to order Bliskets, you can go to mariellsbliskets.com.
Okay.
Okay, a lot of, but you can all get to all of it through mariellehemingway.com and join my community. I love that. I send out newsletter once a month and a new blog, and information where I'm speaking and what I'm doing lately and the new television show I'm creating with my partner and all kinds of really great stuff in the works.
Well, I want to thank you for doing so much good work on yourself and learning to heal and thrive and live healthily and peacefully. Because that has enabled you to pass on what you've learned to the rest of us, so we can get there too. So
thank you.
And thank you for being my guest here on Full Power Living today, too, very much.
My pleasure. Thank you.
All right.
Okay.
Be sure to join us every Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, when we continue our tradition on Full Power Living of bringing you the most cutting-edge thinkers and helpers on the planet addressing the power of emotion in our lives. Join us next week when we talk with former State Department translator Fred Burks about what you're not finding in the news. Bring your friends and family, and we look forward to having you with us. So thank you, wonderful listeners, and thank you to our supportive and talented producer at Fresh Talk Media, Paul Johnston. Until next time, I'm Eileen Dillon, your host, thanking you for listening and reminding you, pay attention to what you want to become, not to what you want to overcome.
Listening to Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.